So we turn to the Old Testament, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And we'll read two verses from there. Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. We've just sung the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I think the author had these verses in mind when he wrote that hymn. God's mercies are new every morning. So Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." Now let's turn then to the New Testament, the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we read verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Then further down in verse 25, "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples," verse 36, "and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" Notice that the word in, little word in verse 35, said again the next day. John was doing the same thing the next day. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I'm going to share with you that something about this little word again in verse 35. I think it's a very interesting word. So I look up a dictionary, Oxford Dictionary yesterday, and see what it says, what it means again, and it said repetition. Doing it once over and over again, repetition once more. Those are the definitions in the Oxford Dictionary. And I think the notion behind this word can have expressions of thought of very, very different extremes. I remember when I went down to early years ago, when Burroughs Gyra was still very young, and I was sitting on a sofa, and she came to me, stood on the tips of my feet, and she was holding my hand, and I was doing this up and down, and she thought it was so funny, and I was tired after a few sort of doing that, and I stopped. And then she said, "Again!" And so I did it again. And then I stopped because I was tired. And then she said, "Again!" And again and again and again and again. And after I was exhausted, I said, "No more." And she said, "Oh." That word "again" to her is an expression that she was very happy. She liked it, right? And then after that, a few years afterwards, I went there again. And when I went in, Burroughs said, "Jairus, go and do your homework." And Jairus sort of wear a long face, "Again? Again?" So you see, the same word can really express very different thoughts, right? Sometimes "again" can be something which somebody really wanted to, and other times it's something, an expression of being bored or whatever. Well, I think life really consists of a lot of repetitions, again and again. We ate yesterday morning, I hope you guys ate breakfast this morning, and you're going to eat breakfast tomorrow. A lot of life is full of repetitions. And I believe we experience repetitions in our everyday life, and we have different reactions to these repetitions. We make life expectations. We make life experiences. Sometimes they are dull and sometimes we don't like it. Other times we are elated, we are happy when something happens again. That's part of life, I think. And there's a very good example, I think, in the Bible to illustrate how we can react differently from various situations and angles. You remember the Israelites, just after they were delivered from Egypt, and Moses was leading them into the wilderness, and they began to grumble because they find it difficult, the food was not good, and so on. And so they grumbled to Aaron and Moses, and they said to him, "We really wish that we were back in Egypt, because at least there we have good food to eat." And now they were complaining, and I quote from Exodus. He said, "Now our whole being is being dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before us." You see, Lord, they complained that they didn't have anything to eat. So the Lord said, "All right, I will provide you food to eat." And for 38 and a half years in the wilderness, the Israelites ate manna. They had to go out from their tent early in the morning before the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning. There was still dew on it, and they went out and picked, and God said, "You pick just enough for today." And some people pick more and some people pick less, but when they went in and waited, it's always that exact amount which God prescribed. And after a few days, they started to make this complaint. They said, "Well, we're going to dry up. We have nothing else to eat except this manna." Again and again, "We have to do this." So their reaction was not so good after all. But if you look at it in God's perspective, and if they realize what God had been doing for them, obviously this repetitive action that they have to go out every day and do it, God has a great purpose, a great lesson for them to learn. For them, it was a chore. For them, it was something which is irksome, cumbersome. They had to go out. Why can't we do it? You know, like some of us, our families these days, they go shopping once a week, right? And they shop for the whole week. But they had to go out every morning and go out fairly early in the morning before the sun went up to collect this, and they find this repetition very irksome, very cumbersome. Why didn't they God allow them to do that? After all, they don't collect on Sabbath. They can collect it the day before, then they can collect 2 days. If they could have collected it 2 days, they could collect it for a week. Then it saved them a lot of repetitious work. But God didn't have it. God wanted, by that provision, to show them how gracious God was to them. They complained they had no food. They didn't have good food. So God gave them manna and told them to go out and collect. But they find that chore very repetitive, and they said it is a cumbersome. It is not a game. And what is the problem of the Israelites? I think the problem is that they refuse to see that this is a miracle of God's abundant provision for them. They refuse to go and every day taste God's fresh provision for them. Yes, they have to go again and again to get it, and yet they found all this action very cumbersome. I think today we often hear people grumbling about these repetitive things. Not to speak about the unbelievers, people of the world, they hate repetitive work. Even for Christians today, even in the church, in the fellowship, everywhere, we find people talking like this, cumbersome. You know, when sometimes people said, "Not another meeting again." I heard even brothers and sisters here, "Not another retreat, not another conference." Every year, again and again and again. A prayer meeting again. A Bible study again. See, that's the kind of attitude sometimes we have. We talk like this very often. and we hate to do things again and again, because sometimes when you get into that pattern, it becomes a ritual for us, and that is not a good thing. What is the tendency of today? Tendency of today is to seek new things, novelties, you know. When we do this once, it's good, it's nice and fresh. Twice, it's still okay. Three times, well, after a few times, we want to go and find new ways, new things, new means. That's human nature. We do not like the word again. And we always want something new, something different. That's human nature. Not only is this applicable to our daily lives, it's also applicable to our spiritual lives as well. As I said, you know, when people sometimes grumble, not another fellowship meeting again, not another this and that again. That is something which we don't like. We like to be going around trying new things all the time. And you see today in many fellowships and many churches, always going for new things. Sometimes I read the posters down in the corridor there with many groups having programs and things. They always put on something new to attract people. And that is what we often do. But you know what Paul tells us, told the Romans? He said, well, perseverance will produce character, and characters will produce hope. So sometimes we have to keep going again and again and again, and out of that we will be able to reap something which is rich, which God has prepared for us. The perseverance is something which will produce character. And this is something to do not only with our physical lives, it is also applicable to our spiritual life. So this is where the again about John in this passage can teach us, I think, some good lesson. I think perhaps we can ask, you know, what was John doing on that particular day in verse 35? He said again the next day. What was he actually doing that day? We know what he did the previous day, because in verse 29 it tells us what he did. He saw Jesus walking towards him, coming to him towards, in his direction, and then when he saw Jesus, he thought of something and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, the previous day he had a very rich day, right? He had given testimony for the Lord. He had proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And on that day, previous day, he had baptized the Lord. He had heard God, the Heavenly Father, speaking from heaven as Jesus came out of baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All these things was very rich for John. That was the day before. He saw the Spirit of God coming, he baptized, and he was able to proclaim that wonderful thing that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And he invited people to behold, look, this is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So it was really a very wonderful day for him the previous day. But now come the second day. To me, if I was trying to place myself in the position of John the Baptist, and I thought, well, after all these had happened yesterday, today must be kind of an anticlimax, isn't it? All the wonderful things that have happened. It's just like sometimes, you know, when we go to a wedding, all the excitement and everything, and then after the wedding, the next morning, yesterday was really exciting and wonderful and full of activity. And so today it seems to be an anticlimax. So I don't know if John felt that too. But he was there on the same spot. I think the question was, why did he go again the next day and repeat the same thing? Well, I think we need to know one thing. In our lives, God has given us each day, and each day is unique in itself. In the Lamentations, in the two verses we read, it says, "Great is thy faithfulness, because his mercies comes every morning, new every morning." That is how God has provided for us. Each day is unique in itself. And although we are doing the same things every day, that day is unique. That day is different from yesterday. That day is going to be different from tomorrow, because God's mercy is new every morning. And David also had this experience. He said, although weeping endures for an evening, in the morning joy will come. Joy comes in the morning. So everything might be exactly the same. You go to school, you get up from bed, have breakfast, you go to school, you had lessons, then you have a lunch break, you chat with your friends, play with your friends, come back, you go to all kinds of activities, dinner, watch TV, whatever, and go to bed. It seems that this is a routine, but we understand that God has made every day unique in his own right. And Jeremiah confirms that in Lamentations, and David also confirmed that in his psalm. And in the hymn we've just sung this morning, it said, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Yes, the days are the same, but the mercies are fresh. So even if we do the same things again, we know that we will receive fresh grace, fresh mercy, new blessings from God every day. We are not to repeat yesterday, even though we are doing the same things over and over again. But I think instead, we need to learn how to live each day, each new day, fully for the Lord. Each day the Lord will give us the energy to enable us to live life afresh, doing the same things but learning new lessons from doing these same things every morning. And all this, God has one purpose: to enable us to grow spiritually, to us enable us to learn a bit more about God. We eat every day, and the end result of that is that we grow. In the same way, in spiritual matters, God may lead us to repeat doing things over and over and over again. And that is not to make us weary or irksome or cumbersome and feel that it is a burden, but to, through those repetitive actions, to enable us to learn more and to grow gradually in the Lord. Every day will link us to the past, but yesterday also lead us forward and offer us something that will help us today, that will teach us something that we have hitherto not known. We did the same thing yesterday, we do it the same day. But today, when we do this thing, if we are true to the Lord, we trust in the Lord will teach us, through doing that same thing, something that we have up to that moment not learned or not known. And every day we can say, "This is the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made." And if we face things in this spirit, we perhaps will be grateful for the Lord allowing us to repeat what we have done before. And so this word again in verse 35 is something that really reminded me, you know, that don't be afraid to repeat what we have done. We had meetings yesterday, you can have it today, because this day is the day of the Lord. Therefore I read the Bible today. I read it yesterday, I read it today. It's something that we have read hundreds of times, we have done it well. I assume that all of us read the Bible, and we've done it every day for as long as we have been Christians. But because this day is the day of the Lord, today we do it again. And today is going to be unique for us because the Lord is going to speak to me through His Word, something that He has not spoken to me before. That's why if you read the Bible, you will find every time you read, there's something new in that same verse which you have read before. Even a verse like John 3:16, we all can memorize it, we all have read it so many times. If you sit down one morning and carefully read that and meditate on it, you'll find that the Lord will give you new insight, new things that you never come across before. So when you say reading the Bible again, you know, sometimes when I read the Bible in the morning or during the day, I say, well, I've already read that, well, I'm going to do it again. But God tells us that reading His Word is not just a motion that we go through every day, but it is something that through which He can reveal more of Himself to us. It is not a burden. It is not unhelpful to us. We can never read enough of His Word, even though we have read it over and over and over dozens of times. Because this is the Lord's Day, therefore we can read the Bible again. Same thing. Because this is the Lord's Day, so we can meet together for fellowship. I think some of us here must have been coming to our Friday fellowship for years. And sometimes we do feel a bit tired, you know, we feel a bit stale, I think, spiritually, at a dead end kind of thing. And we thought, well, it's a waste of time to go to the Friday night fellowships. Yes, we may be tired. But if we come with an attitude that we can no longer get any benefit out of them, that would be the situation. And I think we imagine that we know everything about fellowshipping. But if this is the day of the Lord, this is unique for me today, then this tonight's Friday fellowship meeting will be unique to me, because I know that God can use that occasion to speak to me something which He has never made me aware of before. So doing things again is not always a bad idea, because God can use that action, that repeating action, to try to edify us, try to build us up. I mean, for example, the same thing goes with prayer meetings. We pray almost the same thing every week. At least some of the items we pray, we have been praying every week, weekly or Tuesday night. Has that become cumbersome? That repetition? Praying about the same subjects over and over again? But remember, if that is true, this is the day of the Lord. Today, this night, tonight's prayer meeting is unique to those who attend, because the Lord will be present at that meeting and He can speak to us as we pray to Him. So this is life today. And that is for this reason that the next day, again, John stood near where he stood, or the same place. He was there again. He was there yesterday, and he saw the Lord, and the Lord put that vision in his mind that this is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So, doing some things again is not always a waste of time. Paul tells us how to redeem time. We have to do things in a wise way. But very often in spiritual matters, God leads us to do things that we have done before again and again. But it is to enable Him to edify us. So if we allow the time to pass in sort of a kind of dull repetition, obviously it is a time that's wasted. But if we do it in a way that the Lord uses us, He can use that time, that whatever you are doing again, to edify us and to transform us into His image from glory to glory. That's what Paul tells us in when he wrote to the Corinthians, that we ought to treasure some things which God, that there are some things that happens in our life every day, and things that we do every day, we can still learn lessons from them. I don't know what John did between verse 29 and verse 35. The Bible is silent on that. But the only thing is that we see him standing again with two of his disciples the next day, and then he saw the Lord walking. He was standing still and with two of his disciples. Then as he stood there, he looked at Jesus and he spoke. Jesus on this occasion was not even walking towards him. The Bible didn't say so. Verse 36 said, looking at Jesus as he walked. Verse 29 said, the next day he saw Jesus walking toward him. So Jesus was not even walking towards him. But when he stood there and saw Jesus, as Jesus was walking, he uttered part of the statement which he said the previous day. He said, "Behold the Lamb." It was slightly different. I don't think John was disappointed that Jesus was not walking to him as he did yesterday. But he did have a fresh look at the Lord Jesus. He was standing there and he was looking at Jesus. He was not looking at what happened near him, but his gaze, his look was concentrated on the Lord Jesus. And he said, I think with a fresh power, "Behold the Lamb of God." You know, we might have said something about the Lord many times. We may have preached the gospel to our relatives, to our friends many times. But did we do it every day, every time with a new kind of fresh power, fresh insight in our words? You know, sometimes we preach the gospel, we tell the good news to friends, we find that we don't have that fresh energy and power in our words. But here I think when John looked at Jesus again, he was saying, making a statement, "Behold the Lamb of God," again. And it was something which is fresh in his mind. It occurred to him, look, this is, behold, is an invitation to everybody around to look. This is the Lamb of God. He was saying it with a kind of fresh power in his words. And the secret is, I think, of John is that he is looking at Jesus with a fresh power. This is how he had a message and a testimony for Jesus Christ. He could say, "Behold," because that was exactly what he himself was saying. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was standing there and looking at him, and he was part of the testimony. He said, "Look," and he himself was looking. And in that, I think he must have said that with a a great deal of emphasis. Behold, we're standing, standing at maybe at a corner or a square or whatever, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That was a very powerful statement. John was concentrating on the Lord. And I think for us in our everyday life, with all these repetitive actions and things that we do, we need to have a vision of the Lord to enable us to constantly do things with a new impetus, with a new fresh energy. John was not thinking of himself. He was just thinking about the Lord. He saw the Lord, and it came automatically to him. Behold the Lamb of God. So let us be ourselves too. Maybe sometimes alone, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ in our devotion in the morning, we were alone. But let us have a fresh insight, and we behold the Lamb afresh in a different light. Not what we saw yesterday. Yes, that's good and helpful, but today we see something new as we read the Bible, as we come for fellowship, as we come for worship. We behold the Lord. As we come to another conference, we behold the Lord. Not as a matter of routine anymore, but it is a fresh experience, a unique experience for that day, because His mercies endures forever. I think no one taught John that Jesus was the Lamb of God. He saw it himself. God, through the Holy Spirit, enabled him to see that this is the Lamb. Nobody on earth, nothing happened, would have taught him that this is the Lamb of God. Of course, he linked up the Lamb in the Old Testament sacrifice and Jesus Christ. And of course, we are looking at history, because then, when John said these things, the Lord has not gone on the cross yet. But the Holy Spirit really put this thought in him. He had a fresh thought. The first day, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then again the second day, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I think in the same way, if we are faithful and you are prepared, God will do the same thing to us. We will never discover anything if we keep on going to look for new novelties, something to attract us or something. This is not kind of knowledge that John knew, that Jesus was the Lamb of God, did not come from any textbooks. No reading, no textbooks per se would have taught John these things. And so today as well, knowledge as such do not help us to come to know more about Jesus Christ. But through the routines in our daily life, through things that we do, we will experience the Lord Jesus in a very practical way. And that is why we must not ignore the things that happen one again and again and again to us, because it's only by then that we'll come to know more about Him and to learn more from Him. I just give you an example to illustrate this point. Let's say we are having a gospel meeting. We have been having gospel meetings quite a number of times on regular intervals, and every time we try to think about something new, we thought that, last time what we did probably was not enough, we have to think about something new. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if our emphasis is just on that, then maybe we have sort of gone a bit away from the original idea of preaching the gospel. After all, the gospel is the same gospel. Whether you told it 10 years ago or you are talking about it now, it is the same gospel. The substance of the gospel is still the same. There's several hymns about the old story. The gospel is an old story. We don't have to keep looking for new ways, new means. It is just plain old story. It's not only the old story, it's the same old story. It's a hymn that says that this is the same old story that I like to tell. So it is every time we talk about to people about the gospel, it is the same old story. You don't need to find new gimmicks or new things to impress, to thinking that will help you. All you have to do is to tell people the very basic facts of the gospel. It is the same, doesn't matter. So sometimes when we preach the gospel, let us just go back and think about what is the substance of the gospel. What we did before, we just told people that God hates sin, we are sinners, and so on and so forth. Simple facts, it's the same old gospel. It has not changed over the ages. It is just, we preach the gospel by just repeating the facts. And the rest of the work the Holy Spirit will do. And this is, again when we talk about the gospel, we again are always speaking of the same things. But out of that, if we trust in the Lord will do the rest. We don't have to go out and try new things every time. And I think it is something that for us, you know, when we have a gospel meeting, go back to the basics and expression and see what the gospel content is, and we just tell people it is, because it is the Holy Spirit that works. It is not what we say or what people can do. It is not through things. Of course, God wants us to use application things like that, but the emphasis must not be on that. We need not keep on trying to find new ways, new means. Just tell people the plain old gospel, the same gospel every time. See, that's a good illustration of what we mean by again and again and again. That doesn't change. There are a lot of things that we do every day, they don't change. But out of that, because it is unique every day, we have new lessons to learn if we are willing to submit to the Lord. You see, up to the appearance of Jesus on the scene, John preached to the people, Tom preached about the sins of the people. And in him, as far as John is concerned, he must have thought that the sins of the people is a problem of the world. What is the problem of those days in John's time? It's the sins of the people. The people committing all kinds of sins against the law which God gave them. Even morally, they are committing various, all kinds of sins. But when he came to verse 29, read again what he said there. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There the sin is in singular. And by that, I think John realized one thing. You know, that the real problem of the world is not people committing sins, but it is the nature, the sinful nature of the people. And that he realized that the real problem is much deeper than the remission of sins. And so it is not what the world does, what he realized, what it is, the problem is what the world is. The world is a sinful world. And therefore Jesus had come not to just to give forgiveness to the sins committed by the people, but to take away the sin of the world. And that is why he said there, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He had learned something that no human no human being could have taught him. He began with, when he was preaching about repentance, he thought that, well, people have committed wrong things, they have to repent and ask for forgiveness. Then he realized it is the sinful nature that needs to be dealt with. And so he said, this Lamb of God has now come to take away the sin of the world. So he learned something which nobody, no human being could have taught him. The Lamb of God has come to take away the sin, not only the sins of the world. And he was therefore looking, as he said that, about the actual work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is, behold the Lamb of God, what is he, who is he? He was concentrated on the work of the Lamb. He was coming here to take away the sins of the sin of the world. And then when we come down the next day in verse 35, when he was again standing there looking at the Lord, he said only the first half of that statement he said the day before, behold the Lamb of God. This time when he stood there and looked at the Lord Jesus again, as he was just, Jesus was sitting and walking, he had a fresh insight and said, not only was he now looking at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was looking at that person himself, he was looking at Jesus himself. You see, that is an advance, I think, you know, if he had not come the second day and look at Jesus, maybe he would stop at Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. But now he has looked again and he saw the beauty of the Lord Jesus himself. It is a person that is important now to him. That is something extra which he has not seen the day before. The day lesson before was different and less than what he now sees. He is now looking at Jesus as he walked, looking at a wonderful person, and by implication, of course, looking at him implies what he represents. From appreciating his work, he has progressed to the appreciation of his wonderful person and all that he is. You see, this second look, doing it again, the same thing, outwardly seems not much difference, but it caused a different, it gave John the Baptist a further insight into what the Lord himself was. Why do I say that? You see, the effect of that, what actually really the power of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In verse 37, the two disciples who were following John heard John spoke and they followed Jesus. Now that is something very unusual. The other day I said, well, if I come and say, hey, you come and follow me, nobody would do that, right? But Jesus, when he was calling the disciples, it was easy for him, right? He said, look here, you, Matthew, you come and follow me. And he put down what he was doing and follow him. Levi was the same thing. Peter was the same thing. Philip, the same thing. Come and follow me. See that power behind that person? And John, when he said, behold the Lamb of God, only, five words, behold the Lamb of God, right? And the effect of that, the power behind that statement, caused two disciples who has been following John, turn around and follow Jesus. See the difference there? When you repeat something, as John did, look at Jesus once, he saw the great work that Jesus was going to do. He was the Lamb of God. Look at Jesus the second time, he saw the beauty of the person himself. And when he said that, he spoke with really power, and two disciples who were following him turned around and followed Jesus. So we see how life progresses. In the same way today, by the exercise of our minds on him, through many of the repetitive works in our daily lives, we can also marvel at the grace of God, at who God is, at who Jesus is, his person, his moral beauty. Not only the things that he does, but his person himself. It is only through our daily lives, in the various things that we do, we see Jesus in this, we see Jesus in that, we see Jesus in the other thing. If we do that, then we really see the beauty of Jesus. And also, in that way, the beauty of Jesus will be reflected in us as well. So yesterday was wonderful for John, but today is unique for John. And so in the same way we live, but we live now. We live for today. We do not have to live in the past. We do not have to be stationary. We are life progresses. And as we have contact, have fellowship, stay close to the Lord, he will give us fresh insight of God and his work. We will have fresh fellowship with him, and every day will be different. Don't be afraid to repeat what we have done. Don't feel it a burden, you know, to go back to the Word of God again and again and again. As I said, every time we read the Bible, we read the same words, we'll find there's new meaning in it. God is going to enlighten us through the Holy Spirit with the very same words which we have, very same words which we have read many times ago. And we do not have to wait for the future. It's today. We see him today. And we see him as we repeat what we have done, time without number, time and time again. All we have to do is just return to the place where we are, sit before him quietly and meditate on him. As John did, he didn't do anything. He went back and looked at Jesus again the next day, and the power of his statement. You know, when he said that, I think all his emotions, the whole himself was so involved by what he saw that nothing could stop him just from saying, you know, behold the Lamb of God, and he stopped there. And that was powerful enough. So this word, again, when we rightly understand what it means, will also enable us to see the Son of God in a new way. Don't be afraid to repeat. Don't think that it is cumbersome to do this again and again and again. Because if you do it with the right attitude and the right way, God will always show us something new, day by day. And personally, I truly believe that the daily life of routine and repetition is really a wonderful gift which God gave us. Sometimes we want to go run around and find new things and looking for novelties. But coming back, I think we need to gather our inner powers to stand steadily on our daily chores. We don't think that they are burdens for us, for we may, through them, expect to find the Lord saying new things to us. The Bible is the same book, but every time we will read a word, it gives us a new insight into the will of God. Prayer meetings are still the same meetings, and yet they will always become a new thing to us. Fellowship meetings, fellowship with brothers and sisters, they will become new. They are quite new, although we are still in the same fellowship, we still see the same people. But having fellowship constantly and repeatedly will teach us new things in the Lord. Today we can behold the Lamb of God. Let us all open our eyes and become a rich person. You know, we're not poor. God gave us everything. His mercies are new. His grace is abundant. And He's a great God, as the first hymn we sung this morning. We are really a very blessed and richly given person. And it is given to us today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. A fresh sight of Him can always make things new. When you look at the Lamb of God, it always gives us some new things. Look at Him again every day and not be afraid to repeat it every time. I think this is the message. It's only a simple word again, but through this action, simple action of John, we see that God is willing to bless us through our daily routine, through everything that we do every day, not necessary to go into new fields and new things. God is always there, and every day is unique for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You because of Your faithfulness. Because even though we change, You have never changed. Lord, You have prepared all kinds of spiritual blessings for us. And You gave those to us through the everyday things that we come across, that we do. And we pray therefore, Lord, that we will really know how to come before You. And to know that perseverance will produce character, and character will produce hope, and that hope will not disappoint us, because the love of God has been given to us, and that Your grace is always upon us. So let us not be afraid to come back again and again to You through our reading of Your words, through our fellowship with You, through our individual meditation before You, that You will send fresh blessings and fresh learnings to edify us as we day by day exercise our mind to come before You and to want to learn more about You. Lord, so bless us, and we pray that what You have spoken to us this morning, although it's nothing new, and yet we pray You will give us a fresh impetus that we may carry on and live on every day, knowing that every day is unique for us, because You are always with us, and Your blessings and Your grace to us is forever dynamic and new. And we thank You for all these things. In Your most precious name we pray. Amen.